Welcome to episode 33 of the Golf Talk Podcast, brought to you by thesandtrap.com. This is Eric Barzeski in Pennsylvania. Joining me as always, Jeff Smith, near Seattle, Washington.
Yes, indeed. Hello, Eric.
Hello. Let's get right to it in our off-the-tee section. Dean Wilson, a Hawaiian, happens to defeat Ryder Cup captain Tom Lehman in a playoff at the International. Zach Johnson kind of fell off and whatnot, but the Ryder Cup captain, nearly, you know, trying to make his own team, seemingly, held off by Dean Wilson, who birdied the second playoff hole.
Yeah, you know, Lehman almost achieved his goal for the season there, and it was ever so close, but Dean Wilson, you know, I bet he's been on the PGA Tour for 4 years now and pulled one out finally.
Would you support Tom Lehman playing on his Ryder Cup team? I mean, obviously he'd hand off the captainship duties to his assistants, Lauren Roberts and Corey Pavin, but if he made the team, would you support him playing, or would you just take the 11th guy?
You know, if he made the team, he earned his way on, sure, I suppose I'd support him. I don't think it's the wisest thing from a tactical standpoint, but, you know, I think maybe there's some other players out there besides Tom Lehman who are maybe be better qualified to do it, but if he earned his way on, there's nothing much you could say about it, but he would have to hand the whole thing over to his sidekick.
Well, his choice would be play, or the number 11 guy would get moved up into the automatically qualifying. So if I thought he was better than the number 11 guy, I'd certainly want him to play. And if he won a tournament within the same month, a month away from the Ryder Cup, then obviously he'd be playing pretty well. So possible that he would be playing well enough at the time to beat the number 11 guy. The number 11 guy is currently John Rawlins. So I'll take Tom Lehman over John Rawlins any day.
Right.
I'd take him over J.J. Henry. Congratulations to Tom Lehman for playing well. You know, certainly gets him some respect from his teammates, at least, for being in contention. He beat a lot of them. Like I said, Zach Johnson had a chance to really move up or lock up his spot, basically, and failed to hang around in the top 10. Bogeyed the last hole and, in fact, fall out. So, dumb. Dum dum dum. Bad final round for Zach Johnson.
Dum dum dum.
Contrary to that, another Hawaiian, a 14-year-old Hawaiian, became the youngest women's amateur champion ever. She was the youngest finalist, so naturally she's the youngest winner. She beats Katarina Schallenberg of Germany, one up in 36 holes of match play on Sunday, to win the U.S. Women's Amateur Championship. Pretty impressive performance all around. 14 years old and really, you know, had a lot of heart, and it was a close match and really pulled it out there against Katarina, who was being outdriven by the 14-year-old all day. So
yeah, well, and I really enjoyed her attitude. I mean, she just had the right attitude to be a winner. She went out there, didn't take herself too seriously. She's sitting in the grass with her caddy, waiting, you know, between shots, and I think it displayed a winning attitude that we don't often see in young athletes these days. I mean, we look at people like Michelle Wee or Tiger Woods or any of these up-and-comings. They're just all business, and it was kind of neat for me to see a gal who's kind of enjoying herself out there.
Both her and Katarina will be enjoying playing in the U.S. Women's Open next year, because they certainly both good exempt, but Schallenberg had very much a sway. You know, she'd move a foot off the ball and then through the ball quite a bit. So I kept waiting for her to lose, and she kept beating people. So maybe it finally caught up to her just a little bit in the end. But certainly an impressive performance by a 14-year-old. There's something in the water in Hawaii. Rafi pointed out in the forums. You know, you got Dean Wilson winning, you got Kimberly Kim winning. There were some other, you know, Michelle Wee's doing well this year and so on. But yikes, you know, Tad Fujikawa, youngest guy in the U.S. Open,
right?
Hawaiian. There's something in the water there. So
coming off the island there, man, they're doing it.
Christy Kerr managed to do it on Sunday as well, overcoming an 8-shot deficit to win the Canadian Open. Christy Kerr kind of around the leaderboard a few times this year, but hasn't really punched a victory in a while, so good to see her back on top of the leaderboard and winning.
Yeah, and an impressive final round. No bogeys, 65, so that's a great performance for her.
Angela Sanford was 4 strokes ahead of Mina Lee after the third round. She 3-putted the 18th for a 74, so that's not going to get it done when you're coming in. Christy Kerr, 27, she had a disappointing finish at the Women's British Open, where she was within a couple holes, you know, stroke back with 3 holes to play, but she bogeyed 16 and finished with a double to end up 3 back of Sherry Steinhauer, so really had a chance to win that tournament, but finally puts away a National Open and the Canadian Open, so good to see her get back. You know, Natalie Goldbus starts off hot this year, Lorena Ochoa starts off hot, Lorena Ochoa happened to also lose to Annika Sorenstam in Sweden the same weekend, and then once again it returns to Christy Kerr, being the only one of those, you know, to have a recent victory, and Natalie's still winless for her whole career. So we'll be right back after this message from Titleist and Chip Shots from Golf Gods. So stay with us.
When you get in a fairway bunker, choke up on the club a little bit, and I like to aim for the top of the ball.
On long bunker shots, flatten your swing.
You want to feel down in the sand and then use your instincts.
When you get a plug lie, all you want to do is take a steeper swing and explode down on the ball.
If you want to hit a punch shot, play the ball back in your stance.
When you're in the rough, you're going to want to hit a cut.
One more tip. Trust your Titleist.
You can learn a lot from the world's best players.
From the studios of GolfGods.com in Minneapolis, this is Chip Shots, a weekly look at golf equipment news, brought to you by the staff of GolfGods.com, the official online pro shop of TheSandTrap.com.
Re-grip it and rip it. Now that the dog days of summer are here, and what I like to call the back nine of the golf season, for those of us whose climates don't allow us to play year-long golf, it could be time for a mid-season equipment upgrade. If you play a lot of golf in the summer, especially in hot weather conditions, it's likely your clubs and more importantly, your grips have taken a lot of abuse. It may be worth investing in a mid-season grip change. The results of the change might allow you to shave a few strokes off. While fresh grips can't overcome a bad swing or poor alignment or any of the other faults that plague even the best golfers, consider this. A national survey of golfers showed that 66% of those who had clubs re-gripped did show an average drop of 3 to 4 strokes per round. While there are a myriad of choices, the Feel Golf Full Release Grip might be the best game improvement grip on the market. Instead of tapering from the butt down, as do traditional grips, these taper the other way, so the glove hand has a smaller diameter and the bottom hand a much bigger diameter. While results may vary, improved grip and release may help alleviate a slice or hook and will certainly add some better touch to your short game. Sold in a full 13-grip kit with all the necessary supplies and an instructional video for $99, it might be just the thing to put a little more zing in your game before the snow flies. That's it for Chip Shots this week. Now back to the podcast.
And welcome back. This week on our forum topic of the week, I was watching the International shortly after Bubba Watson comes to the 18th hole. No, it was the 17th hole, which was shorter than 500-yard par 5. Bubba Watson, they mentioned, you know, he's tied for the lead coming there. I think he has 32 or 34 points, which 34 points happened to get you into the playoff. You know, really pushing Bubba Watson, who was 105th on the money list, so really almost in danger of losing his card, perhaps, this year.
Right.
Comes to the 17th hole, tied for the lead. Chooses to hit an iron off the tee, thinking he can still get there, no problem. You know, two 250-yard iron shots with probably a 4-iron for him in that air would easily right. get him there. Peter Kostas, and then mentioned his 111-yard drive previously, manages to hit the ball 92 yards.
Hello.
And then it stays in somewhere. I mean, hits a tree and whatever. Then he hits it in the water, basically. It rolls up his pants, chops it out sideways, gets it up kind of near the green, chips it to 4 feet, misses the putt, cards a 7, and right. so on. It's just a total collapse from someone that, you know, a lot of people use as an example of the new breed of, you know, tour player, when once again he's in danger of possibly losing the card. Probably not now, but what the heck, a 92-yard drive from a professional with an iron in his hand.
Really, really surprising. I mean, I'd been kind of in and out of the coverage, and I saw that Bubba was ahead, and I thought, hey, awesome, you know, he's going to get one. And I came back to the coverage, and what happened? I mean, he was ahead, and then all of a sudden, he's way behind, and obviously, it was a choke job, and he admitted as much. Choke job.
Wow. I don't know if I've ever seen anything worse. Woo, 92 yards. Pretty sure I could have beat that. So the Colorado air didn't help much there.
No.
We'll be right back.
For a crisper long iron, grip up on it about an inch.
Be real aggressive through impact.
Keep it short and aggressive.
Maintain your balance.
Take one more club and swing it smooth.
Think happy thoughts.
For a soft draw, close your stance and make sure you release the club.
I'm going to line my feet to the right a little bit, hook the club face, then grip the club.
You can learn a lot from the world's best players.
And one more tip, trust your tightness.
Oh, that's got to be it, guys. Come on, that's a perfect shot.
And welcome back. This is our Beating Balls segment. We'll quickly run through a number of different stories. First, some Michelle Wee stuff, then some Tiger Woods stuff, then some stuff that doesn't involve either of them. Michelle Wee's caddy is shocked and surprised to find that he was fired. There was a big stink raised over this because Michelle Wee didn't fire him, her agent did, at the airport returning from the Women's British Open. He said he was shocked and surprised. I was disappointed I didn't hear from the Wees. And of course it's Michelle Wee, so everyone is blowing this very much out of proportion, but the guy's 42 or whatever he is. I don't know how old he is. You know, he's won major championships with Julie Inkster, caddy for her for 12 years, won 4 of her majors, etc. But she's a 16-year-old girl. How much would it be more awkward to be fired by the agent who's done something like that before, or to be fired by some 16-year-old girl who...
Yeah, and I think he was looking for something from the Wheeze themselves. I mean, it kind of shows, you know, this sort of politically correct kind of mumbo-jumbo that comes out a lot of people these days. apparently, they issued a statement. This Johnson's departure comes as a part of Michelle's maturation as a golfer, part of which is learning from many different bright golf minds. I don't think Johnson was ever... his skill was never a question. And so they just decided to dump him, perhaps because Michelle can't putt or something.
This is a guy who BJ, Michelle's dad, has told him not to read putts. And at the same time, there are two things that I want to point out about Greg. Number one, he was there for both of her penalties, both the bad drop, her hitting the moss in the bunker. He was there for her decision to chip on the 18th green when she needed to get up and down to get into a playoff at the Craft Nabisco. At any one of those 3 points, he could have said, you know, I think you might have dropped a little closer. You know, remember not to touch that moss. You know, maybe we want to putt this.
I think in the case of the moss, I think he did say something about that, and it might be contained in that story we've referred to.
My understanding is that he reminded her not to touch the moss, but didn't say not during your swing, because that's what she misunderstood. She thought the swing included the back swing.
I see.
So he didn't point out that the swing really only includes the forward stroke.
So you think the firing was justified?
I think I would have fired him after he chipped instead of putted on 18 at Craft Nabisco, because that was not long after she took a bad drop. And, you know, I disagree with the whole bad drop thing, but he's her caddy.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be looking out for her.
I wonder how much of it had to do with the fact that her parents were micromanaging his performance, and so maybe he felt like his hands were tied. Again, there's no way to know this behind the scenes.
That's true, yeah.
Short of an interview.
Yeah.
But,
I don't give BJ Wee any credit, so. But I can't blame her for not firing him. I mean, the decision may not have even been hers.
Right.
From the Department of Duh, Tiger Woods is named PGA Tour Player of the Month for July. He won the British Open and the Cialis Western Open, tied for second, and then shortly after, I guess it was beginning of August, he won the Buick Open. So, duh.
Decisively putting to rest all the swing change stuff.
Who was second? Trevor Immelman? I mean, he's the only other guy to win a tournament, you know.
Right.
Greg Norman. This is an old comment that came up about a year later. Greg Norman says, you know, he's played against Jack Nicklaus, and he's played kind of against Tiger Woods. Says that Jack Nicklaus could have eaten Tiger Woods for lunch if they'd played together at the same time. Agree or disagree?
Disagree. That's just a ridiculous statement.
Well, he's played against them both. How can you say that Greg Norman, you know, who was number one 300 some weeks in a row, how could you say that he's that far off?
Well, Norman isn't the only guy who's watched golf history. I mean, there's a bunch of us out there who've, you know, watched this whole thing, and it's pretty well known that Tiger Woods has a really, really solid short game. I think that's one of the biggest differences.
You took my point.
Apologize.
You know, Nicklaus could putt, but the way they tuck pins and stuff these days, there's no way. I don't think, you know, Nicklaus wouldn't be he wouldn't be getting up and down as much, and he wouldn't be rolling as many birdie putts, because I mean every green you ever look at from the 1960s and 70s and early 80s, the pin stuck there in the middle.
Yeah, which is true, and it's well known that Nicklaus didn't take his short game as seriously in his early years. And the other thing to consider, nobody doubts Nicklaus's will to win and his ability to stare down a component, but Tiger's got the same thing, and then some. Right. So he's got the determination to match Nicklaus without any real discussion.
Here's another article. It's called 50 Ways to Greatness. Tiger Woods, of course, won his 50th PGA Tour event. So it moves on and talks about 50 different body parts of Tiger Woods and how they add up to be great.
And my favorite, number 7, the right fist. Frequently pumped, it's past Jordan's tongue is the most famous extended body part in sports history.
Well, tied for first, balls. Let's just say it's not always the actual golf balls.
In the interest of full disclosure.
Testicles.
Okay.
Speaking of balls, the Ohio Golf Association has named its uniform ball the Champions 08-22-23-06, which happens to be, it's the Champions Tournament being held August 22nd through the 23rd of 2006. It's a ball, it says OGA, it's got a red number on it, and it's got that on the seam. Nobody knows who makes it. You know, it kind of looks like an old Maxfly dimple pattern, but obviously nobody will want to get a reputation as being a high, spinny, shorter ball, so obviously I don't expect any manufacturers to come out and say, yeah, that's our ball, that short one.
Right.
You know, just to be careful, it's not a shorter ball, it's a uniform ball that happens to go shorter.
Right.
We'll be interested to see how that experiment pans out August 22nd through the 23rd at the 6,800-yard Windy Knoll Golf Club in Springfield. I titled this next one here, Bent Grass Gone Wild. What's this about, Jeff?
What they say in the article, a nondescript grass discovered in the Oregon countryside is hardly an alien invasion. what they have is a genetically modified form of grass that is going to be really good, resistant to weeds for golf courses, and it also is resistant to, you know, some forms of grass killing. Yeah, grass killing herbicides. And so, you know, they're saying it could become very popular with golf courses for obvious reasons. And the USDA is not taking any chances. They're studying this grass so that we don't find this grass all over the United States.
Bent grass, you know, we must restrict it to golf courses. It's funny because I think my parents' house has a bunch of bent grass spots where, like, just little seeds and stuff from my golf shoes. I'd bring them home. I'd walk around my yard hitting shots mm-hmm. here and there to whatever. So there are spots in my yard where I think bent grass has taken over. It's kind of funny. There's a bright green patch over there and a bright green patch over there. So
that's nice.
Bent grass gone wild. There's something we call here divot gate. It was kind of a silly thing. Esther Cho was playing. She won her first two matches and whatnot, but she lost the 18th hole. She came to the last hole against Katarina Schallenberg, who made it to the finals before losing, because she replaced the divot. She was disqualified, basically. She lost. They came to the 18th hole tied, and she lost because she stepped on the divot in the fairway to take her stance, stepped out of the divot. The divot fell off her shoe. She replaced the divot. It was when she replaced the divot that she broke a rule, which was mm-hmm. improving her stance or swing, because removing the divot because it stuck to her shoe made her stance worse, because then she was standing in a divot, not in the even flat thing. So the way the rule is written, she improved her lie by replacing the divot.
Yeah, and which makes me think
improved her stance.
If I was ever on the golf course, I'd be so nervous I was going to break some rule. I would definitely want a knowledgeable caddy, perhaps not Johnson,
to be. This is a rule that, I mean, I'm a stickler for rules. After reading it, it makes sense to me, but I'm not sure I would have figured it out while I was playing, just in the heat of competition. But, I mean, you know, bad timing. If it happens on the first hole, it's a bygone kind of thing. It's like, yeah, whatever. Happened on the 18th hole, she loses.
Well, she was one down to Schallenberg as they played the 18th, so she could have tied and gotten into a playoff.
In sad news, of course, Heather Clark was suffering from breast cancer. She died on Sunday, so Darren is not going to be at the PGA Championship. Don't know how long he'll be out of golf, but certainly his concerns are elsewhere right now. By all accounts, she was a wonderful woman, and certainly Darren will miss her, and our thoughts go out to the Clark family. Finally, of course, the PGA Championship kicks off, and a day after this podcast goes on our site. The current odds on Tiger Woods are 3-1, according to Gary Van Sickle, and Phil Mickelson at 7-1, Jim Furyk 9-1, Jerry Kelly sneaks up there at 10-1 over Ernie Els, Adam Scott, Vijay Singh, Luke Donald, Sergio Garcia. They're all worse off than Jerry Kelly. So, you agree with these 3-1 for Tiger Woods?
I mean, he's my favorite right now. He's the front runner. He's been playing well.
If he wins this major, he'll be batting 300 as a professional in majors,
which is remarkable.
12 for 40. So, give me the field. I'll take the field every time. But ask me to name one guy, and it's got to be Tiger Woods every time. I don't know who's your dark horse.
You put me on the spot. My dark horse. If I could pick anybody, well, I put this up on the sand trap here a few days ago, and why I can't remember it, I'm not sure.
Okay. Is Sergio Garcia going to make the cut?
Yeah, he's going to make the cut.
Will he be in contention ever?
No. Brother's got to get his putting going, and then we'll talk about contention in any event.
I still say it's a mind game, but...
Yeah, my dark horse is Lucas Glover, that's right. He's got the distance to do it, and I wouldn't be surprised if he won it.
Well, that about says it for this week in episode 33 of the Golf Talk Podcast. Join us next week when we recap the PGA Championship and Tiger Woods' likely 12th major victory as a professional. If not, then, hey, we have egg on our face, but it's radio, so you can't see it. Again, this says it for episode 33 of the Golf Talk Podcast, brought to you by thesandtrap.com. Check us out online at thesandtrap.com or participate in our forum, where you may create next week's forum topic of the week at thesandtrap.com/forum. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Looking forward to seeing you. Bye-bye.